Here's the premise of the talk today. It's on your outline. It's very simple. You cannot finance happiness. Period. Do we understand this now? What will have to happen in our culture for us to finally get this? I'm encouraged that we are. I see some really encouraging signs. I don't know up until this, in the last couple of years where everything has fallen apart, I'm not sure we really ever believe that. I think we may have turned the curve. And so if Americans could just believe that, we'd be a better place to live. Amen? You cannot finance happiness, but you can cash flow a fantastic future. That's not just a cute title, though I think it's pretty cute. Don't you give me some credit? All right, sorry. but it's true. It's true. I've lived it. I'm living it every single day. You cannot finance happiness, but you can cash flow a great future. Listen to this. Psalm 49:20. A man who has riches without understanding is like giving a MasterCard to a dog. Isn't that what it says? That's literally what it means, isn't it? It's like giving cash to a goat. What will a goat do? Eat it. Every Sunday morning, my ritual is I'm studying and working and preparing. And so we have two dogs, Harley and Cooper. And there's a chair up in my office, and they come and they lay in that chair. And when I start packing up, they know. It's treat time. Oh, yes. How many of you know your dogs love you until the treats come out? They'll kill you for a treat, man. You would have thought I was giving them the Taj Mahal. I put that treat up. You have a treat connected to your hand, you will lose a finger. These are the sweetest little puppies in the whole world. That's how dogs are. That's how animals are. If I were to go down, instead of giving them that little bitty treat, that little cylinder of flour baked into a something, and I would say, here's my MasterCard, which would you rather have? They'd go, is he an idiot? Is Dave gone crazy? I want my treat. You can't eat plastic, right? That's the point. Some of us think the solution to our problem is more money. Only if you understand how money works. And if you understand how money works, then absolutely, more money is the solution. And God told me to tell you today, I know that you already know this, but I just want to give you the good news. More money is on the way. You're going to make more money. You're going to earn more money. The question is, what will you do with it? Will you waste it, or will you turn it into something that God intended, and that is a blessing? The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. Money is a good thing. It is a God thing. And if you know how to use it, it is an awesome thing. It can bless. It can empower. It can there's no limit to what can happen with those kind of resources. This is such a big deal. I'm going to do a whole series beginning 2011 called Moneyology. 4 financial facts you must learn and never forget. If you learn them, you're good to go. But you got to not forget them. So here is a learning, particularly now as we narrow this down. Think of this. Even though marriages are way down in our country, over 2.5 million couples get married in America every year. Adding, or depending on what your view is, taking from the American economy over $75 billion. Paul and I on the David and Paula show last week began to do a series, we're probably going to do 2 or 3 weeks on how to have a beautiful marriage on a budget. And it is amazing that the average marriage in America costs somewhere between $37,000 and $45,000. But when you start thinking about all that goes into it, you say, whoa, yeah. Of all the things that happens, though, when we get married, of all the things we do, we fail to learn so often this simple truth, and I'm going to give it to you today, and I expect a cash reward. Here it is. When you got married, so did your money. Did you know that? When you got married, so did your money. I say that because I deal with an awful lot of people who have not figured that out yet. Well, it's my money, and I earn my money, and I just my money, and it's my money. And she goes, oh, I'll get my money. I just don't tell you, that ain't her money. I go out there and work, and it's my money. Really? If that's your attitude, stay single. Stay single. Paul and I have had to counsel women who have been left destitute by their millionaire sports, country music, corporate husbands. Because when they left, they took the money. Contraire, mon frère. We have a civil contract in this country called marriage. And when you sign that dotted line, dude, the government recognized three things. Your family. You are faithful sexually to one another. And that's it. And you are one family unit. And when the government looks at you, it looks at her. And it looks at you. Amen? Married money is our money. That's number one. Married money is our money. By wisdom, a house is built, Proverbs 24, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with Kmart special furniture. No, what does it say? The rooms are filled with what? Rare and beautiful furniture. What does that tell you? That married money is more money if you know how married money works. Understand this, that every money decision in your marriage is a we decision. It's not a me decision. Oh, that's good. Somebody write that down. Somebody Twitter that. Every money decision inside marriage is not a me decision. It is a we decision. It's our money. And you don't have the right fellas, bros, mothers, brothers from another mother. You don't have the right to go out and buy a boat without your wife's agreement. You say, well, that's my money. No, it's not. It's our money. When you got married, so did your money. Grow up. What is money in the hands of a person who doesn't know how to use it? It's called a curse. Yeah. It's called a curse. In this series we're going to do, we'll understand one thing about money. It's one of the reasons why the government dumps so much money in the economy. Money is movement. Money moves. And if it ever stops moving, if the money ever stops moving, everything collapses. So, married money is our money. It's our house. These are our cars. This is our furniture. Amen? Amen? Amen. Lie. You can lie. God will forgive you. I don't believe that. Well, just say amen. Let me go on, okay? Let me live in my delusion. Number two, married money minds its own business. If I were to say to you, how much money do you have? You would probably say to me, it's none of your business. And you would be right. But it is your business. Amen? There are four things about your business you must know. Here they are. You must know what you own, what you owe, what you earn, and where it goes. Now, that's good stuff. Come on. Gee whiz, you people are hard, please. You must know what you own, what you owe, what you earn, and where it goes. Here's what we think in America when it comes to money. If I don't open the envelope, the bad news will not get out. Right? What's that? That's a bill. From what? I don't know. Did you open it?
I'm not opening it.
All right, bad news will get out. If we don't open it, we don't owe it. Praise Jesus. Woo! Right? Proverbs 27, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. This is a recent study, I think last year came out. I did a study of all the Ivy League schools, Harvard, Princeton. We have an Ivy League school in town that will go unmentioned. Just saying, don't want to be hurt. Compared to good state schools. And after 5 years, do one of these graduates make more money than the other? And you know what they found? That the graduates in the Harvard schools and the Ivy League schools and the expensive schools and the private schools made no more money than graduates from state schools. No more. But what are we told? Go to a private school, hawk your future by paying 30. There are schools in this town, 30,000 plus. Oh my Lord. Really? Maybe you teach in one. Aren't you happy? If you, well, I don't get paid. Well, somebody's screwing you, dude. Gee whiz. There are private schools in this town with 30,000 plus. And what will happen? Good, gullible, trusting people will hawk their financial future to get their kids into a name. And by the way, if it goes by an initial, you're in. Right? Or multiple initials, no more than three. More than three, you're screwed. But if you've got three initials, you're good to go. Why do we do this? So that they can hang around the right kind of people and have the right kind of influence and go to the right kind of school so they have the right kind of job and the right kind of career. And you know what? That may have been true one day. It is no longer true. The truth is out. The truth is out. You can't pay for a great education. Are you with me? You must know what you own, what you owe, what you earn, and where it goes. Be sure to know the condition of your own flock. Married money knows its own business. Here's the great thing. It doesn't matter what your financial condition is today. If you know what it is and want to change it, this could be the greatest day of your life. Your whole financial future turns around the moment you understand where you are and you're willing to do something about it. That's the great thing about this country. They're making more money every single day. They're printing it like toilet paper. Right? Come on now. They're making it every day. It's everywhere. It's money everywhere. Money coming out of, you know, machine. Did you know that you can actually put a little plastic thing into a machine and money will come out? Really? I mean, it's happy days are here again. But you know what? If you want to be someone with your head in the sand, oh, just, you know, the Lord will take care of me. Grow a brain, dude. You gotta know how much you owe, how much you own, how much you earn, and where it goes. Where it goes. Here's the third thing about married money. Married money pays its debts. Of course, we quote Romans 8:13, right? Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. I, for years, never listened to Dave Ramsey. I mean, his idea of this no debt seemed a little radical to me. I'm a Baptist, and I don't take kindly to that kind of debt-free talk. Honestly, I didn't listen for a long time because I'm thinking, sure. Yeah. This is a scam. So I thought, you know what? I want to get to know the guy. So now that I know Dave, know Ramsey, what do we call it? Dave, I guess, Ramsey. I want to call him Dr. Ramsey. Ought to be. I know that this guy lives what he preaches. That's what I'm trying to say. I started listening. And here's the interesting thing. About how much, and of course, a lot of callers into a show. You know, do you understand? The Dave Ramsey show, the financial peace thing? And so a lot of people call in. A lot of people call in who call themselves Christians. And a lot of these people who call in and call themselves Christians are asking Dave how to hide money. My daddy has three houses and about $155 million in a bank account. And I was hoping I could, how could I take that out of his name and my name, and then we're going to put him in a nursing home? And we want, you know, that he can get Medicare. All right, what would you call that? They would say, fraud. Isn't that weird? People call themselves Christians and want to cheat other people financially. Dude, if you sign the paper, you owe the debt. Pay the debt. Amen? Pay it. Well, it's going to take me a while. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The longer it takes, the more it will hurt, and the less stupid tax you will pay the rest of your life. Can I hear an amen? Pay the debt. Pay your rent. Pay. Amen? Provide things honest before all men. That's what the scriptures teach us. Married money is our money, right? Married money minds its own business. Married money pays its debts. Here's the next one. Married money pays its share. Several weeks ago, I talked about, I never talk about money. You know that. If anybody's been around me, I hardly ever talk about it. God's always been, has provided. We've been here 21 years and, you know, living on the goodness and the generosity of really good, godly people. Thank you. Amen. You've been great to us. Oh my gosh. And the goodness of God. So I've just always believed, tell people what you need and, you know, ask God to provide the need. I had several people, and what I shared basically, if you weren't here, is that, you know, is that our attendance is up, our giving is down, and our rent has doubled. Now, that kind of perfect storm creates some issues and challenges. And I told Paul, I said, let's just tell people. Some people won't like it, and other people who will care about it will want to know. I've had a time in my life when people said to me, hey, why didn't you tell me what was going on? Well, okay, so I'm telling you. So we've had a lot of people come and say, you know what, thank you for sharing, but I can't, you know, I'm just in a place in my life where I can't do anything about it. And you know what, don't we all understand that? It really is a painful place to be when there's something going on that you want to financially do something about, but you just simply don't have the money. So here's my advice to you. Ask God to make sure this never happens to you ever again. Amen? That you will have money to pour into the things that you care about and that matter. And that make a difference. And when a need is placed before you, you can say, let me open my checking account. So I got what you call cash. Meet the need. This happened, I've learned this over the years. I love this 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Right? The giving is fair and proportionate. Saving up so there'd be no collections when I come. That's why we receive an offering every week at the gathering. We have every church I've ever been a part of. That is a part of what it means to worship with our tithe and our offering. Now, several years ago, I started a church on the other side of town and we were struggling and trying to, I look at our income now and I think, oh my Lord, will we ever afford a building? And people ask me, will the gathering ever have its own facility? Yes, it will. When God's timing and God's provision, this ain't my first rodeo. And I remember years ago when we were meeting in a school and we didn't, every week it was counting the pennies. It was trying to figure out how to, you know, make this thing work from week to week. We lived 7 days from extinction and I've just seen God show up. Well, one day a guy showed up and a buddy of mine, called me and he said, so-and-so just showed up to your church today. I tell you his name, he wouldn't be embarrassed, but he's in heaven right now. So, you know, I'll just leave it like that. And I said, really? I said, okay. He says, do you not know who he is? I said, no. He said, well, he's a very successful builder in town and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And I said, well, great. He said, that could either be the worst thing that ever happened to you or the best thing that ever happened to you. Because the guy is pretty much hell on wheels. Really? He's 72 years old. How, you know, fearful can he be? He said, well, let's just put it this way. He just got arrested for drug possession. 72 years old, you're taking drugs. I admire that guy. I mean, seriously. And you're driving out in public? That's got my attention. Well, through the process of time, this gentleman came to Christ, had a radical change of life. What a sweetheart. Was so good to us. And I remember one night, we were going to try to build a facility for this little movement we had going. It looked like NASA on parade. We'd set up 730 chairs and put down what we call lovingly the shower curtain and all this stuff. And we were going to build. We had zero money. Thank you, Jesus. So I'd heard you got to go ask people for money. And I said, oh, man, I don't want to ask people for money. That's not my bed. So I said, I'll take you. He's 72. What can he do? I can take him. Boom! I mean, I weigh like three times more than he did. So we end up at the Vanderbilt Club, and we're having dinner. And I said, you know, I got to ask you a question. I've never asked anybody in my life. I didn't even ask my daddy. I said, but I need some money. He said, how much? I said, I need $1 million. You obviously didn't hear what I just said. I'm like sweating. I'm waiting for him to go, you know. I'm waiting for him to turn red. I'm waiting for his disposition to change. I'm a Baptist from Barron County. Do you people not understand the distance between that and $1 million? He didn't change demeanor, didn't get red, nothing. And I wanted to explain, you know, $1 million, you know, this is such a big project, it's a big deal. Nobody's going to believe it if we don't have somebody like you who will step up and, you know, financially commit to it. And he said, okay. And then he said, do you need it all? I mean, do you like need a check tonight? He's reaching for it. I'm like, I said, no, but I do need cash. Small bills, two duffel bags. So after all that was over and I got my $1 million, I just got to ask this question. He said, what? And I said, number one, were you offended by this? I mean, this. He said, no. He said, here's two things. Number one, you flatter me to think I'm that successful. He said, I am. He said, $1 million for me is nothing. He said, I probably owe tithe, you know, that much. Seriously, I thought, you go God. So if any of you get $1 million, I want you back tithe. Huh? Promise me now. All right. It's done. But then he said, what you really do is you honor me to think that this is that important to me, and it is. Amen. And here's what I found, that if you will begin, particularly in married life, to get your finances straight, to understand it's our money, to mind our business, what I owe, what I earn, what I give, and where it goes. When you begin to do life God's way, when you begin to pay your debts and be honest and open, then God begins to pour more and more and more resources into your life. Who is God going to give the most money to? The people who know how to use it or tremendously. Are you listening? Let me say it one more time. Back up. Because I need to get a running start at this. Who is God going to give the most money to? The money, the people who have proven, I won't waste it, I won't hoard it, I will tithe, I will give, I'll let it come to me and through me, I'll know how to invest it, all that kind of stuff. Or profoundly stupid people. Now, am I right? I'm right, aren't I? Because when I was doing that, you were thinking, okay, really? Well, that's good. But what about, I just took it right out of your mouth, didn't I? How many of you know really stupid people who have a lot of money? Let me give you some perspective, temporarily. Did you know that over almost 60% of professional athletes are bankrupt within 4 years of leaving their sport? Michael Vick is bankrupt. In his lifetime, Michael Vick has made something close to between $150 and $200 million. Now, is Michael Vick stupid? Well, you know what? He's paid some stupid tax. Can we agree on that? A couple of years of his life for doing something profoundly distasteful and harmful. You see, do you want to have a lot of money and then pay stupid tax? Or would you like to be able to do life God's way and let him and prove to him over time that you are trustworthy? Amen. So, married money pays its debts. That's showing God, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. I have integrity. I have character. Married money pays its share, and married money avoids bondage. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. Now, let me put this in the context of marriage, okay? I'm not going to talk about being debt-free and all that stuff. You either into that or you're not. I'm into it, and I'm thankful for Ramsey and a lot of other people who've poured into my life for that. But I want to say this to you that has nothing to do with that. When Paul and I got married, we were financially stupid. That don't mean we did a lot of bad things financially because we didn't have any money. Well, I will confess this one thing. If you've done this, confess with me, would you? I did pay for a Sears dryer for 16 years. Anyone else? Well, obviously, I'm not alone. Can I run a little rabbit about this big? This is about a 30-second rabbit. Anyone who encourages anyone else to sign a contract that obligates them to pay for a car for 72 months ought to be put in jail. I said it. Oh, I like that. Well, you know what, dude? Dudette. It is a crime to manipulate people who don't know what they're doing financially, and a lot of us are there. And I'll tell you why. My parents never taught me about money. Did your parents teach you about money? And if your parents did teach you about money, you ought to call them as soon as you get out here and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Did I say I love you? I'm going to come and give you a big sloppy kiss. I'm going to start walking, and I'll get there next week. Mine didn't. That doesn't mean my mom and dad are nice people, and I'm sure their parents didn't. But what they did do is they modeled a financial behavior that I modeled because I didn't have anything else I didn't know anything else about, right? The only thing I knew about money is that it was the root of all evil. So Paul and I had to break that bondage. And we had to learn the hard way. Yeah, we've been in debt for tires. We've been in debt for a dryer. We've been in debt for clothes. Just you look back over it now and you think, how dumb can you be? Pretty doggone dumb when it comes to money, right? Because we're scared of it. Instead of saying, money's a good thing, money's a God thing. But listen, money is a horrible master, a wonderful servant. Amen? Money's a good thing. Money got me through college. Money got me married. Money got me first. Money's a good thing. But you need to understand that if you follow the example of others who may not have known how to use money, you're going to repeat their behavior and you'll wind up into bondage. What I want more than anything else in the world, now that I've in my life gotten to the place where I understand money and I like money and I know how to use money, hopefully to leverage things that matter in my life, I wanted to teach that to my children. I have three girls. Can I run another rabbit just about this big? My daughter Lindsay's getting married. And so, yay God. But I always want to know, just I'm asking, I'm what we would call in the business crowdsourcing. Where is it written that the girl's got to pay for the freaking wedding? Is this written somewhere? Send it to me in a link. David@davidfoster.tv. I think that's wrong. I just think it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. No. So when our girls, you know, got to the place where they're going to drive, we sit down and said, and we start with Erin, our oldest daughter, and said, listen, we're going to buy you a car. We're going to buy a used car. And we go to a certain person we've gone to for years and years and years. They're awesome. And so I said, but here's the deal. And we did this for Lindsay. We did this for Paige. You have to agree that you will never go into debt for a car. Ever. And what did they, you know what they said? Sure. 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 No problem. Well, I will never forget several years ago, and we got a call from our daughter Erin to meet us at a certain place. She was trading in the car and buying another car, and she said, I just want you to be here when I write the check for cash and pay for this car and live up to my promise. Wouldn't it be cool if my kids were millionaires and that their kids were multimillionaires? And they were good people who knew how to take money and use it and multiply it for good. Amen. I sit next to a guy, a buddy of mine. He doesn't come to this church, but he ought to. We had breakfast one morning about a year ago. He said, man, I'm so fired up. I said, what? He said, I've just figured out. He said, I got $1 million I got to give away. I'll take it. Small bills, cash, two duffel bags. I've done this before. He said, I've just discovered a way in which that $1 million can give away $1 million every 5 years. I said, one more time? He said, I can take my $1 million, put it in this structure. It can give away $1 million, and I'll still have $1 million every 5 years. So what happens is that long after I'm dead and gone, that $1 million is going to be giving $1 million away every 5 years. That's cool. Is that not cool? And I've looked at some of the things he gives this money to. Good guy. I'm like, good dude. One of the most depressing things in life is not being able to buy a new car or a new house. It's not being able to put money into something that you know will matter and outlive you. Well, I don't have time for the rest of it. I do have time for this. I'll go all the way to the bottom because I think you need to hear this. God cares about your finances. You know that, right? He loves you. He's not he's not nearly as uptight about this stuff as most religious people are. Have you made stupid mistakes? Then join the club. Amen? There's a way back. There's a way back. You can still earn $1 million. You can still be financially independent. You can still support the kinds of things that matter to you. You can still happen. Can I hear an amen? It can still happen. But here's the promise I want you to go away with today. This is from the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus. You understand? This ain't David. This is Jesus. When David says something, it's like super important. When Jesus says something, it's right. You distinguish between the two. Amen? I mean, this is the dude. When they calculated the odds of him resurrecting from the dead, they found them to be .. I mean, like zero. But he did it anyway. This dude got up from the dead. You understand? All right. Just want you to know this. I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields, land, for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Let me just stop right there. We all know, well, you know what, if we live good lives and we give and when we go to heaven, you will get a reward. Yeah, you will. You will. But guess what? This is better than Amway. And that's saying something, isn't it? God, Jesus says, I will reward you financially here. Right here and now. Amen? I think it's time we said, me. Lord, me. I'll take that. Amen? Let's do it right now. Father, we bow before you. And we claim this promise that when we look at our lives bigger than what we think they are, when we refuse to look at money as something bad and evil, something that we give away through debt or other stupid ways of living, that money is a good thing, that money is a God thing, and that money can be used to change the world. Let us be worthy of your trust to bless us financially. I pray for someone who is here today in debt and they're depressed. I pray that you will lift that. There's no reason to be depressed. They can all change. It can all be turned around. They can all be free. Set us free financially and give us a big life to do something with it. In Jesus' name, I make this prayer. And all God's people said, amen. Go get them.